Hello and welcome to Lush. My name is Charlie Moores and I was invited by Mo Constantine, Lush's co-founder, to make an occasional series of podcasts highlighting the people who work in manufacturing, a process that includes the production of everything from face creams and soaps to bubble bars and bath bombs. Manufacturing involves a huge number of staff who do everything from compounding and pressing to picking and packing, largely, of course, out of view of both customers and the rest of the company. Could I, asked Mo, give them a voice? Well, how could I possibly say no? This fourth podcast discusses a very hot topic at Lush, and around the world, of course, freedom of movement. Lush believes so strongly in the principle of freedom of movement that the declaration, "We believe that all people should enjoy freedom of movement across the world," has recently been incorporated into Lush's core beliefs, the thinking that determines how the business is run and the way that staff are treated. All departments are impacted by restrictions on movement, but manufacturing perhaps particularly so. Almost 50% of the people working in the Lush's UK factories don't hold British passports, for example. And the company has factories in another six countries, staffed by citizens from all around the world. I met up with a number of manufacturers in Poole to discuss the concerns that restricting freedom of movement might have on them and why freedom of movement is so important to Lush.
Hello.
Hello. Matt from the UK.
Shannon from Australia.
Loza from Australia.
Corey from Germany.
Sean from Germany.
Vangela from the Czech Republic.
You just fixed me with a look that says this is going to be a long interview. Okay. So let's start off, actually, what do we mean by freedom of movement? What do you think it means, Matt?
For me, freedom of movement is the ability to go anywhere, anytime, whenever you want to, visit any country, see any part of the world. At the end of the day, we're all inhabitants of the same earth. We should be able to visit any part of it whenever we want.
And do you think that's something that is thought throughout the whole of the company? I mean, is that that's a company ethic?
I believe so, yeah. I think that everyone wants the ability to travel somewhere. I mean, you know, we've got colleagues from all over the world here with us today. They've been with us for the week, learning some of our new Christmas products that we have. And without them being able to come here, they wouldn't have been able to learn it. And we would have been doing everything over videos or Skype calls, emails, pictures. And I don't think you really get the chance to build relationships with people unless you're in person.
Do you guys think then freedom of movement is as much as being able to come here for a week as it is to be able to come here to work, to live, to marry, to spend the rest of your life in a country?
To be honest, when you said if it's like the business ethic, to me it's more like human right ethic, you know, like you should be in general able to go anywhere and work anywhere you want just because, you know, that's like you're right, you know, just to go place that you think that's more suitable for you. And just, you know, it's just, to me, it's more like being able to choose what's better for your life. And if it's in that country or that country, there shouldn't be borders for that, you know. It's more like believing I will have a better life working for that company in that country, so that's what I'm gonna do. But there shouldn't be government or borders telling you, no, we've decided that you're not suitable for this country because we speak another language.
That's how it feels to you, doesn't it?
Well,
that you're not wanted here.
Not really wanted. I feel like just because I was born a few thousand kilometers away, I'm not suitable for the country, you know. Just because there was a border between my birthplace and their birthplace, there's no right for me to, you know, work here and live here. And I don't think it's correct.
Is that how you guys are seeing it from the other side of the world? Obviously, we've been talking very much here in Europe about Brexit and the effect of the UK leaving the EU, but countries all around the world seem to be tightening up on freedom of movement.
Vendula summed it up really nicely. It's just like there should be no borders, and it's just if you want to live there because you think your life will be better in that country or you want to go there for whatever reason, you should be able to. Yeah, it feels like it's the same in Australia as well. It's like only certain people are able to get in right now.
And we, with that, I feel like we're being influenced by what's going on in the world. And, you know, a lot of people did agree before we started recording that, you know, it's quite similar. And it's almost kind of like schoolyard tactics where, you know, you get to choose who's on your team and over there, when really it should be a fair opportunity for everyone to have the same sort of experiences.
And then you feel like the small countries are being left out just because they don't really have something to offer to the big country. And then you feel intimidated, kind of. So you think like, oh, I should have been born over there just to have the privilege of, you know, do all the stuff that the big countries are offered, you know.
I think it's about equal opportunities as well, because having equal opportunities for the people that are born in the country you're working in, as well as for the global population, is really important. And I feel that's what Lush gives us to an extent that they possibly can, but the country you live in is the restriction.
For example, when I came to England, I was just 18, and like first week I fell in love with the mentality, with the culture. And it's like, I feel like I was in this little shell, and once I came in, it started breaking, and I just had the chance to meet all the new people, had all the new experiences that I wouldn't have had in my own country. After basically the whole Brexit happened, I was in Germany already, and I was like, oh crap, because it's like, I've been 4 years in the UK, and now I'm in Germany, and they're saying that there's a chance that I'm not gonna be allowed to come back. And this is like, okay, what am I gonna do? I feel still like UK is my home, but now I moved to Germany, and it's because, you know, of the work, basically still the same company, still the same people that I work for. But is it just because of the government, or because they decided that, you know, we are not part of the European Union? Does it mean that I'm not allowed to, you know, go back and work there again? Because that just sucks.
I suppose if I should be neutral and balanced on this, I mean, the government are only responding to what apparently British people said, this much talked about majority. It was 52%, for Christ's sake. I call that evenly split. But when you talk about the government not wanting you, in fact, it looks like the people in this country have said, we don't want people from outside of our own country, which is... Well, I think it's very short-sighted, presumably everybody thinks the same.
I moved to Germany just after the Brexit vote, before the results. I found out the results once I was in Germany. And as a British person, I feel really, really lucky that I can go to a lot of countries with minimal restrictions. But I feel like, and I felt like when I moved over there, my feet had been taken from under me, because we were in a really strong position when we moved to Germany. And all of a sudden, the people have decided that people don't want to be part of an amazing group like the EU. We saw attitudes change. Trying to get a flat was harder. The German landlords, for an example, were very open and honest with the fact that due to the Brexit vote, they did not want us living in their house. Mm-hmm. And it's happened to a lot of us. And I think because that wasn't my personal opinion, I can't argue the 52% that wanted to leave.
To be fair to the 52%, they do say it isn't only about immigration. Yeah. Yeah. But is that the way it's viewed around the world, that it seems to be mostly a decision about immigration?
I think if you were to do that vote again, it would go the other way, because there are a lot of things that people believed they would get out of this that they're probably not going to get out of it. There was the, what is it, £365 million a week that goes to the
NHS.
Yeah. So that's... Is that likely to happen? Probably not. I don't know. Still, there's no real clear direction as what's going to happen. But the 52%, I think it would swing the other way if you were to do that vote again, because a lot of them don't believe it. No, I don't think they think about the impact of us going to other countries. You know, okay, they don't want people to come here, but what about if they want to go somewhere else?
There was apparently 60-odd% said, yes, we want to be able to travel as much as we want, but...
It's not fair.
They thought it was okay for us to go wherever we wanted, but it wasn't fair for anyone to come here.
I think that's a very, you know, blindsided way of thinking about things. They're thinking of themselves and not everybody else, which should be equal for everyone.
You know what I felt was very intimidating? When they were promoting the motto, make the Britain British again, does it mean that the foreigners who are in Britain making it like less British? You know, it felt like the multicultural feeling has got like a bad impact on British culture, or, you know, citizens or whatever. And that's when a lot of the foreigners who are actually living in Britain felt a slight discomfort, you know, like being in Britain. And then, of course, like those people who voted for Brexit, you feel like that's those people who are trying to push you away, even though you, for example, work for them or you are their friend, you know, then you start feeling like, okay, maybe they were just, you know, acting like it. Maybe there is something that they're not telling you that they're happy with, you know.
I also think that people maybe forget how much other countries influence your day-to-day life. If you look at technologies that we have currently, hardly any of them are actually made in Britain or designed in Britain. You know, a lot of car manufacturing is done in Germany, Japan, and America.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of personal devices that people have. Our culture has been influenced by the whole world. Every country's culture has been affected by the whole world. The British people, I don't think you could find someone who is 100% British by having a DNA sample taken. I've seen videos on Facebook, people had DNA done. There was one guy, yeah, I'm 100% British. I think he was 40% German.
Yeah.
So whatever happens, you would have to, you probably would never find, wouldn't be able to find someone who was 100% British. Mm. They will have influence.
Sure what it
means. No, I mean, every country is made up from various different people. It's just, as we've kind of gone through the years, it's just borders have got tighter and people are more defined in which country they live in. But, you know, take it back 1,000 years, more than that, people moved around freely.
But also, having said that, and this was a point I was going to bring up, like, it's only since 1973 with the various treaties that have come through that this idea of we should all be able to move around has come into being, because we've always had borders. There's always been passports. The freedom of movement really, as in terms of being able to move to work, only really came about in the last 50-odd years. So, you know, you're saying it's a human right. I agree, but it's a very recent human right that we've been able to do this thing.
I think it comes with the fact that people start realizing that once they can or are not allowed to do it, they should be.
Yeah, once
I don't...
you've had it, to have it taken away is
basically
harder than
not
having it in the first place.
Globalization of companies plays a massive part as well, because companies have more opportunities in more countries because you're expanding. And I think the success of massive companies like Microsoft and Google and our company relies on being able to send your product overseas, being able to send staff overseas, and them actually being able to work in that country. What happens now when we can send our product to the country, but we can't send our people to the country? Is that right?
No, it doesn't seem right. Obviously, the EU has four pillars of freedom of movement, and it's people, goods, services, and capital. And one of the big arguments is you shouldn't restrict the people movement if you're still saying it's okay to send our goods, our services, our capital abroad, and we should be able to do all four. Can I just turn to you, Corey, because you came from North America. Yeah. You've landed in Germany. How aware were you before you came of how tense the situation was?
Well, we know about Brexit a little bit. I'm not going to pretend to I know a whole lot about it, but to me it's more of a us and them thing on like every level. So you can break it down, like, I grew up in small town Ontario in a town called Chatham, and we didn't like the guys from Blenheim. But then you get older and you meet some guys in Blenheim, you're like, yeah, you guys aren't so bad. And then you move a little further away and like, oh, guys from Blenheim are all right. But now I live in Toronto and like Montreal, I don't like Montreal. I personally love Montreal, but it's like, oh, Montreal, and we're from Toronto. And then it's like Canada,
that's
US.
Very French versus English, though, isn't it?
Absolutely. Well, I got my War of 1812 shirt on here. But yeah, it's like wherever you want to draw the lines. Now I'm in Dusseldorf, and even though Cologne's right down the road, Dusseldorf hates Cologne. And Cologne hates Dusseldorf, and we can't drink alt beer because we drink Kolsch, and we can't drink Kolsch because we drink alt beer. And it's just like nonsense, really. And the larger your circle gets, the more you realize when you start drawing lines and like, oh, you guys are different than us, then it's ignorant and small-minded. The more you see, the more you know, right? Like, and I think a lot of people are just scared of the unknown. It doesn't need to be that way, you know?
I guess that brings me back to that point that it always has been that way. And these barriers have only been broken down in the last 30, 40 years. Is that a fair statement?
It's gotten smaller, though, right? Like aeroplanes. When you go up in a plane and you look down, you don't see lines dividing countries. It's just like one big piece of land, right?
When you mentioned the that you're coming from Lush Canada, basically. Obviously, we've got Lush Canada, Lush Brazil, Lush Australia. And for the places like Canada, I know that even though we work for the same company, we need to get visa, right? Me working for Lush UK over here, I didn't need to get any visa to go to Germany to work for Lush. But now I feel, okay, am I gonna need visa for working in the UK if I want to go there? And personally, my friend David, who used to work for Lush UK, then he went with Lush to Lush Brazil to set up the new company. Then he came to Düsseldorf. And I know how long he's been struggling to get visas for Lush Canada. It took him like 2 years to actually get all those visas done and everything. So I'm like, what if it's going to be the same way now for us, whoever is working for Lush Australia, Lush Germany? Is it going to be this difficult to actually get back to the country just because there are some, you know, government restrictions or visas required for basically getting back to the country? Which seems quite scary to me, you know, because like waiting for something like that for years just to, you know, go back where you started, it's kind of sucks again.
I guess a lot of people who might listen to this who are English and have no intention of working outside England really don't understand the stresses and the tensions that this vote, these decisions are beginning to have on people. You are genuinely anxious about what's going to happen in the future.
Lush is trying to make it easier for their employees, but it's very uncertain, the whole situation, because we don't have any answers at the moment, and it doesn't make us any happier.
Just going back to your previous point about English people not wanting, or British people not wanting to go to other countries, just because they don't want to, why should they stop other people who do want to? I think that's the one thing that they need to remember, is that if they don't want to, that's fine. But give other people the choice to actually be able to go and work in another country, and other people from other countries come and work in Britain.
I'm going to say an awful lot of Brits do go and live abroad when they get a bit older and they want a bit of sunshine, they're happy to go down to Spain.
When I moved to Germany, I felt my eyes were more open because I've been living in Poole and Bournemouth all my life and I'd never moved city. You know, I just moved in and around the area, and I had a general idea as to how difficult it was for other people. But until you're surrounded in a company like Lush, you're surrounded by so many amazing different nationalities, you don't truly understand what it's like for other people trying to come and work for the company or to work in the country. And moving to Germany, I feel like I've been given a small taste, just a really tiny taste of what it's like for other people as well. So
how many different nationalities do we have at Lush?
All of them.
All of them.
From A to Z,
all the way through.
In Germany, we have 34, and that grows.
I think it's 41. I think we got 41 now.
That's just in manufacturing. But I think if we were to go across the, I mean, we are in 48 different countries with our retail stores,
right.
Seven different manufacturing countries. I don't know the number of different nationalities that we have working in the UK manufacturing business. I can't remember that number off the top of my head. But we are, you know, it is multicultural. There are so many different nationalities.
Like Australia, staff from all over the place. Mm-hmm. Toronto has staff from everywhere, Vancouver. Yeah. Those are the ones that I've been to, Germany now and the UK. So that's like a common thread from every factory, which is really good. I know I talk about like food is something that really brings people together. So like you might like, oh, I don't really, like, when you're younger, you're like, oh, I don't really understand those people, but I don't want to eat that. And then you eat that and you're like, whoa, these people must be pretty good because their food's pretty good. It brings people together, you know. And
What's the situation like in Australia?
Very, very diverse as well. Any given room has like probably 8 to 10 different cultures represented. Yeah, we have lots, very diverse. Same as North America, UK.
It's always been hard to get into Australia, though. They've always been very choosy about what skills you have to be allowed to go into the country.
We actually have a lot of seasonal staff that are on like just like working holiday visas and stuff. So they're there for about a year or so. We have a lot of backpackers from all over Asia and stuff like that. But then we also have a lot of our staff, permanent staff is like from Nepal and India and Pakistan and New Zealand.
Samoa, Polynesia.
Yeah. because New Zealand and Australia, you can go between the two to work. very easily with no visa. So that's a bonus for some of our New Zealand staff as well.
Coming from a small island like Samoa, which is like a Polynesian island, to have that opportunity to say, hey, I can go to New Zealand, I can go to Australia and have that opportunity to, you know, develop myself, develop my family. I think I'm truly grateful for it. But as mentioned before, slowly it seems like global entities are being influenced by each other. And it's kind of a scary thought thinking about where we're going to be in the future. So yeah. I'm grateful for the now and present.
Some people might say that Lush have this, you know, they put freedom of movement as sort of right front and center of the way the company operates, simply because it has stores all around the world. It wants to put manufacturing bases all around the world. That it isn't really about the people, it's just about a business opportunity. How would you respond to someone saying that?
The reason that I absolutely love this company is because the decisions aren't solely business decisions. There is no harsh business suit environment. It's a really emotional environment. Decisions are based on emotions and considerations from people throughout the business, from the bottom to the top. And that is why we see happy staff making happy soap, you know, because everybody is considered and you feel in touch with all areas of the business.
It is a business decision. It's just like a new way of viewing business, like a broader scope, not just numbers, but trying to run a business to keep people happy, right? It's when you have happy staff, you're going to get good products. They're going to make good products. You're going to be more efficient. You know, like if you're not having a good day, that's kind of contagious. And then the guy next to you is not having a good day. Another thing back on the difference between Lush and other companies, like the handmade aspect is huge. So other factories that I've worked in or companies that I've worked for, you have like a certain amount of staff, but they're working on machines. At Lush, we are the machines. So like instead of managing 12 people that work on 12 machines, you're managing these few people that are managing other people. And like with us, with the handmade aspect, it's like you have to be mindful of people a lot more than, because it takes longer to fix a person's emotions than it does to get a maintenance guy to come and put two screws in something.
Working for Lush is a little bit like the life choice or way of life as well, because the people who are working for the company works there not just for the money but for the whole idea of the business. Because sometimes it's just the idea that you agree with, and that's why you want to work for the company. Basically, the people who are working there, who are open-minded, who are culturally so diverse, you know, that's why you want to stay with that company.
One of my favorite things to do is to listen to people's Lush stories. When I first joined, I had no idea. I knew I wanted to work for Lush, but no idea where. And I started in the bubbles department shaping bubble bars with Matt. And I would talk to the people around me and I would hear, yeah, I've been working for Lush for 15 years. I've been working for Lush for 7 years. Oh, only 7 years. And to me, that was like, this is an amazing place to work for, because everybody has their different stories. And when you listen to people's stories, you see the freedom of movement within that. Like, it would not be possible for us to do what we're doing without freedom of movement and talking to the staff and hearing what they've done in those 7 years, what they've done in those 15 years. It's really exciting.
Yeah,
that was really well said. Lush likes to provide opportunities to the staff, and acknowledging that our staff is so international and diverse, like without the freedom of movement, we would have less of those opportunities. So I think they want to be able to provide and support more for the staff. So
can I just ask as a final thought then, what does cultural diversity bring to Lush? You know, what would Lush be without that cultural diversity?
I think it brings innovation. It brings ideas. You know, we're inspired by many different cultures for a lot of the products that we may do or the spa treatments that we have. A lot of it comes from different areas. I mean, you know, learning things about raw materials. So you get that as well from it. So lots of different cultures actually can impact our products, you know, the innovation and the ideas that come in.
It creates a really open-minded, like, attitude. You know, we have people who have different faiths working alongside each other, people who are Christians, who are Muslims working alongside each other, that celebrate each other's events together. We have people from countries that are in really difficult circumstances working next to each other, with each other, and there's no negativity with that, and that's what makes a company what it is.
I think we are special right now. And I hope in 10 years' time that we're not. I hope that it's just kind of commonplace that everywhere is kind of like us, because the more things you take in, the broader your scope, the less hate you have towards differences. Like, it's just like, oh, well, that's different, instead of like, oh, that's different, you know?
There's an interest in finding something different rather than it being a negative.
Yeah, like that's, and then when you travel, you're like, well, yeah, this is different than home, but it's more the same than it is different. It's not like I'm going to Mars or anything. Like,
I guess what you're saying is, underneath, we're just people. We're the same people. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what color we are, what religion we've got, what language we talk. We're just the same people.
I also think that the different cultures, are taught to cooperate in the company, which, when it comes to work, when it comes to personal life, and I think that should be applied outside as well, outside of the company, because if the world would be just cooperating with each other, then there wouldn't have to be the dividing stuff like Brexit or borders or restrictions, visas.
So we're all agreed freedom of movement is a good thing.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you. Matt, Shannon, Lozzo, Sean, Corey and Vendula from Lush Manufacturing. Thank you very much for listening. If you'd like to hear more from Lush, including the other podcasts in this series, of course, please download the free Lush Player app, which is available for both Android and Apple.